This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now, we're rocking on this Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse, host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright. Benjamin, thanks for rolling with me, man. We've been so scattered here today. We got a lot of great guests on, yourself included, probably the best guest we've ever had. So forgive me for calling an audible, but we got you on the program, my friend. Happy to have you.
Well, sucking up will get you everywhere. So, the minute you started doing that, I was like, I got to call in. These guys need me right now. They put up the Ben signal. It's like a face of a white Steve Urkel gracing the clouds instead of Batman.
We did. Michael is beaming back there, by the way, since you dropped a nerd reference. It's all very good and acceptable here on this show. So, well done.
This is what I do it for. I give it back to you.
Well, you do. You give it back to us. And the Broncos, they've been giving it back to their fans. 10-2, Benjamin. Still not sure how we got here. It's been crazy. Every game's been nuts, it seems like. But somehow here we are at 10-2, and the Broncos maybe have a realistic chance to be the number one seed overall when it comes down to the end here.
Yeah, it's kind of hilarious because you look at this thing and you're sitting there saying, but are we any good? And then you look at the record at 10-2, and you're like, well, I guess we are. We keep finding ways to win, and that is a hallmark of a team. It's doing the right things, whether everybody else says it looks bad or they're the worst 10-2 team or whatever else. And I'd encourage every Broncos fan out there to quit letting these nerds, steal your joy. Don't let pro football dorks, power rankings be a thief of joy to your stuff. Who cares what they think? If you didn't care what they thought about anything else in your life, why would you care what they thought about the Broncos? They don't even watch them. Forget the four-letter network. None of that. We're 10-2. Enjoy the ride.
Well, it's interesting, too, because both teams at the top here, the Patriots and the Broncos, are receiving their share of, well, who have they played? Who, their schedule's weak, whatever. Both teams are kind of getting that. Maybe, I don't know who's getting it more, but it just depends on who you watch and the day, I suppose. But both teams probably feel like they're the top two teams in the AFC, yet they're underdogs in this whole play once we get to the playoff picture.
Keep underestimating it. There's an old adage that I think is one of the best quotes out there, and that is you don't have to be the best football team in the country. You just got to be the best football team in the stadium that day. And if you keep doing that, at the end of the day, you're going to wake up and be the best football team in the country. And so, I think when it comes to that kind of stuff, who cares what guys like Screamin' A. Smith are out there saying? At the end of the day, the Denver Broncos are 10-2, and that guy can rant and rave till he's blue in the face. They're still going to be 10-2.
Yeah, no, well done on the name, too. Yeah, that's good. Well, it's the thing, Benjamin, like, you've covered the NFL for a long time. You've covered the Broncos for a long time. And I've always kind of came back to, like, there's no written rule how you're supposed to win. I remember that Patriots team with Tom Brady and Randy Moss. They were blowing teams out of the water. They were just destroying teams. And when it came down to it, they beat everybody except for the New York Football Giants in the Super Bowl. There's just no written rule of how you're going to win. There are certain teams. The Eagles were ready to fire Sirianni last year at the beginning of the season. Not the Eagles, but the fans were. And then they go on after that rocky start, and they win every game, including the Super Bowl. It doesn't always go like it's scripted, or is it scripted, like it's supposed to go. Sometimes teams just catch fire, and the Broncos are learning ways to win in different ways, and I suppose that's, to me, that's a major positive.
Sometimes you just got to wait for a football team to grow up. You know, you got young guys, you got to wait for them to grow up. You got to wait for it to mature. It's just like a whiskey, just like a wine, just like your kids. Sometimes you got to wait for them to mature. Some kids mature faster than others. Some don't. You know, I'm still, I'm going, what, I'll be 45 next week, and I'm still working on passing the 20-year-old maturity level. So, you know, it's just some of us grow up faster than others. And so I think that's part of the thing. And if you're a coach in the NFL, if you're an executive in the NFL, you got to quit worrying about what the fans think, because the minute you start worrying what they think, you're going to be sitting out there with them. So you got to, you know, you got to find ways to just believe in what it is that you're building, continue to empower the people around you to build it to their maximum potential, and go from there.
I've asked you this a lot during these segments on Friday, Benjamin, but, you know, about Bo Nix. And that's the, you know, obviously your quarterback's always going to kind of lead the topic of discussion, even though the Broncos defense is so good. Is Bo kind of like the Broncos? Like, we still don't know how good he really is at this point. What's your assessment of him now? I've asked you weeks ago, but where do you sit on Bo Nix?
The same as it was. I mean, it's a kid, it's growing up. You know, he's certainly a gamer. He's one of those guys that turns it on at his best when you need it the most, when the lights come on, when the lights are the brightest. You know, and it reminds you, I know it's a bit of a derogatory statement, but it reminds you a little bit of Tebow in that way. You know, it's just a guy that finds a way, that digs down, finds that extra 10% when you need it, and does that. And I can sort of relate to that on a personal level. For me, you know, whenever I was playing a sport, whatever the sport may be, you know, I would kind of goof around for a while, and then, you know, when it started coming down to the end, I'm like, oh my, we're about to lose this. I need to step it up. And then, I kind of would. And so I can relate to that sort of mentality. I think Bo comes into games, you know, maybe running a little hot, a little nervous, you know, that kind of stuff. You can kind of see it, some high throws early, that kind of stuff. I think it takes him a minute to settle down, get in his groove, and then I think he gets the fourth quarter and says, oh, hell no, we're not losing, and digs deep and finds that. So I think, you know, I think he's got a little gamer to him. I still think in terms of what he is as a quarterback, he kind of reminds me of Derek Carr, you know, a little bit, which, you know, fans around here kind of find derogatory, but it shouldn't be. Derek Carr was a very good quarterback. He just was on some really, really bad teams. So I think Bo, you know, Bo's kind of like Derek Carr. He's a top third of the league quarterback when all's said and done, and, you know, great in clutch situations where Carr wasn't.
How do you practice that? Like, I agree 100% with what you're saying. It does seem like he's a little jittery early on in games, and then as it progresses and you get your backs against the wall, something clicks. Do you see him kind of, like you said, he's growing up. Do you see him growing out of that, or is that always maybe the in your just a prediction game here, do you see him just being that guy? Like, this is who Bo Nix is going to be.
He might just be that guy. I can relate. You know, I know what it's like to be nervous when you walk out there and you got all eyes on you and stuff. But as you start to get into a game, you sort of forget the crowd around you and you just start, you know, you get your second wind and you just start getting in the groove of things. So I can sort of relate to that if that is indeed what it is. And I'm doing this from the lens of my own experience, but that's what it looks like to me. It looks like the same things I did where I walked out there. I was nervous before, you know, it's all on me. I'm a little nervous when I get out there. And then, you know, then once you start playing, the pieces start falling into place and you get that second wind, you start forgetting about the crowd. You just start focusing on the game and you start to see it come along as the game goes along. He may be that person forever. I don't know. You can't practice it. You can't capture it or harness it or whatever. You just got to find a way to calm your nerves early and then be able to execute.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. The Broncos pick up Elijah Moore earlier in the week, Benjamin. Do you see him? I mean, I know they've added him to the practice squad. Do you see him elevating and being a useful, like an actual productive part of this roster as we go further in the season?
I don't know. I mean, Sean Payton's never met the the reclamation practice squad receiver he doesn't want to forget about. You know, A.T. Perry was out there for a minute, different style receiver, but they had A.T. Perry, and you go back a little bit, Traquan Henderson and all this kind of stuff. There's guys out there that he's had that, you know, you're kind of looking at like, oh, this guy was productive for a flash there. Maybe we can do something, and, you know, nothing ever comes of it. So I'll have to see it before I believe it. You know, Moore's shown a flash here or there and has some ability, but who you taking off the field to put him on? I mean, he's basically the Troy Franklin role. That's kind of what he plays. So you pulling Troy Franklin off the field, who's kind of been Bo's binky this season, even though he's not exactly been the most efficient receiver. I don't know. So I doubt big impact this year. Maybe you keep him around next year and he does a little something.
You talk about the binky. I thought I thought, you know, Courtland Sutton was going to be that guy, because he certainly was last year. And then, honestly, Evan Engram, which maybe that's starting to unfold before our eyes here, I thought those two guys would ultimately be kind of the two reliable guys we're going to, but it has turned into Troy Franklin. Is that how this thing's going to go, or do you see the, you know, Denver trying to make sure they get Engram involved more, which they seemingly have, and Courtland Sutton?
Well, the Courtland thing's interesting. It's fascinating to me because all of his touchdown productions come in the first half of games this year,
yeah.
To my knowledge. I'd have to go back and double check, but I'm pretty sure it's all come in the first half. You know, and then you get Troy, who I think Bo just trusts him dating back to college. I think he just kind of knows and is the most familiar with him dating back to college, and that's sort of that safety blanket there, even though Troy's one of the most inefficient receivers, if not the most inefficient receiver on the team. You know, Engram, we saw a little something. I tell you, watching that game against the Commanders, that, you know, you're in overtime and you can kind of see Bo growing up. He walks up there to the line. He sees there in quarters. He calls a whip route. He checks the whip route for Engram. Sees he's ISO'd on Bobby Wagner, hits him for that big gain down there inside the 10. We kind of saw Bo growing up there. I don't know if that was getting Engram more involved so much as it was Bo just recognizing what was happening.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. This Raiders game is huge. I mean, we're talking about tiebreaker stuff and common opponents. The Raiders, the Patriots are obviously pretty damn good, nice record, but they happen to lose to the Raiders to start the season. The Broncos kind of struggled, not defensively, but certainly offensively against the Raiders. So it's a pretty significant game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. This one's going to be a little bit different because it's in Las Vegas, but you get a full week to practice instead of just the 4 days for the Thursday night game. So I expect a little more fireworks on offense. We'll see. The Raiders, I mean, there's just a familiarity. Anytime you got a division game like that, they tend to be tough. There's just more familiarity there. You just know what teams are trying to do, and they tend to be a little lower scoring. So we'll see. I think the Broncos can win. The Raiders have fired just about everybody but Pete Carroll at this point. And, you know, they're going to be doing a hard reset on the roster next year. I think Pete will be back, but I think they're doing a hard reset on the roster. Might even be bringing in Kyler Murray. We'll see. And so it's going to be a different team, I think, next year. But the Raiders just, to me, it would be a testament to Pete Carroll if he were able to find a way for this roster and this coaching staff to win this game.
And Broncos are 7.5-point favorites. Do you have any issue with that? You think the Broncos have any issue with that?
I don't think the Broncos care. I think as far as it's for me, I given the way the Broncos win but don't cover, I think you know, it's probably on the other side of that 7. It's probably the betting number, but it's one of those things. I had them at 6.5 for the for the Washington game, and then they wind up winning by one, mm-hmm. thanks to the failed 2-point conversion. So, you know, the old joke is that good teams win, great teams cover. Well, let's see the Broncos start to cover before we start doing that outside one touchdown lines.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. My confidence is, I believe in the Broncos, but there's a why am I somewhat concerned about this game on Sunday?
I think you just saw the last one, and there's a bit of a recency bias. You know, you look at this. Washington was a better football team than people thought. They're way better than their record. And so I think people are down on the Broncos because they beat Washington. They're only a 3-win football team. Well, you know, Dan Quinn took over the defensive play calling on that team two games ago, and they've been a totally different football team since then. They're running Mariota out there. They're missing half their roster, and they're still putting up a fight. So I think that's part of it. I think part of it's looking at the last Raiders game where it was 10-7. I don't think Jeremy Crawshaw is going to have the yips punting again like he did in that game. So, you know, I think we'll be all right.
Last one for you, just going back to it, since you mentioned it, the failed 2-point conversion by Washington. Describe that Nick Benito play.
Oh, phenomenal. I mean, just made a game-saving play, honestly. Nichols was open in the flat. It was a slip sort of pick play screen type deal, and kudos to Cliff Kingsbury for recognizing those refs hadn't been calling that all game. Then you get the Broncos come out there, they show zone, they call timeout, they come back, they're going to run a zero. They've got Benito coming free off the edge, and he just makes a great play to save what would have been a game-winning 2-point conversion for Washington.
Would have been a devastating loss too. That would have been tough to take. But Nick Benito, man, I mean, you said it, well said. What more can you say about that guy? But Benjamin, my friend, I always appreciate it. And short notice jumping on here early in the 12 o'clock hour. Thanks for doing that and your support and joining us on the show and the nerd references too. All the time. They're great.
Guys, this is Yeah, this is what I'm here for. It's to bring nerd culture up there to Fort Collins.
Well, we need it. Michael loves it. He's going to record this and listen back to it later, I'm sure, just the first, 45 seconds or so. Benjamin, have a great weekend, man.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Okay, now coming up, we have Caden Reeder. He's a quarterback for Thunder Ridge High School. He just committed to the University of Northern Colorado, so he'll be joining the Bears as their quarterback. Where will he be on the depth chart? Who knows? I know they're still waiting on information about Eric Gibson Jr. But let's talk to one of the new Bears coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Stocking stuffer.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Download your favorite KFKA podcast today.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.